We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. Got the brother D1. Welcome,
yes,
brother.
Indeed. Man, thank y'all for having me, man.
I didn't know this was your first time up here. I thought for sure you was up here, but D1 was up here before.
You serious, bro?
I honestly did.
Man, well, hey, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. That means my presence must be getting felt, you heard me, even if I wasn't here.
That's, you know, because you run into D1 so much.
So many times.
At least back in the day, I used to run into D1 a lot. You know,
yeah.
D1 just be... You know, you be out.
Yeah,
you be
popping touching up, the people. Man. Yeah, there you go. Touching the people. That's always been the goal. I've been to your book signings before,
yep.
You heard me?
Yep.
In South Carolina.
Yep.
I done seen you backstage at A3C.
Yep.
Like, really working because I never had anything given to me in this industry. So when I stopped being a middle school teacher back in Louisiana, I was like, damn, I'm about to be a rapper now. It was important for me to go out there and make it happen. So how you make it happen? You form organic connections.
Yeah, I saw, you know, you showed me the tweet. I saw you when you posted it earlier this week, but... when he did the cipher back in 2014.
Yes, sir.
I just tweeted D1 spitting.
Yep.
Because he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's good to see you still 10 mm-hmm. years later.
Bro.
Yeah.
Organic, bro. Longevity is so hard to mm-hmm. accomplish in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing I pride myself on is mm-hmm. I remember when I was a teacher in Louisiana, I used to be Fred O'Bang's middle school teacher. You heard me? Like,
wow.
Literally. And I remember before I told my class, like, look, I'm about to stop teaching after this year to be a rapper. I was like, dang. Is there going to be longevity in the music industry the way there is if I was to stay being a teacher? And all these years later, I'm still here and still ascending. You heard me? So that's God, bro. That's why I know my path is divine. Nobody could say, well, D, you had this person that put you on. God orchestrated my blessings, bro,
mm-hmm.
to where nobody could get the credit except for him from me.
Now, you said Fredo Bangs.
I was going to ask you. You said you were Fredo Bangs' teacher. Did you know
when you were teaching him that he was going to be a rapper, he was going to be a star?
Not at all. Nah. No. Nah, I just knew he was a funny little dude. He was cool. He had a sense of humor. And he was smart. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he was not to be played with. He was serious. Mm-hmm. You know, he was serious about just demanding his respect. But he was just a cool dude.
Mm. Yeah. I did a video with him because he put out an album called Yes, I'm Sad.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, I did a video with him encouraging him to go to therapy. And then I actually connected him with a therapist. That's coming out soon.
Good.
He actually sat down with a real therapist. And, you know, I don't suggest people broadcast it, but if they want to, I'm not mad at it.
What, if people broadcast going to therapy?
Yeah. I mean, no, sitting down, like, the actual session. Like,
the actual session.
I think they're doing the actual session. I'm not sure.
Really?
Yeah, I think. I did that once for VH1, and I'll never do no shit like that again.
Yeah, bro, because it's hard to be transparent.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's super hard to be. I went to therapy, actually, right after that BET Cypher. I started going to therapy, bro. Mm-hmm. I was signed to RCA at the time, right? And, you know, you're on the BET Cypher, you're thinking your life about to change after this night. Like, that's mm-hmm. what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And nothing changed after that night.
Jesus.
You know what I mean? Nothing changed after that night. So I was like, damn, man. And I was feeling like, I know I'm the underdog in this industry because, you know, I'm on some righteous stuff. I'm on some put God first stuff. I come from New Orleans. Like, after that, I felt like I blew my shot. And it started messing with me mentally to where I was like, dang, I kind of don't even want to be here no more. Not in the industry, but on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started realizing, like, damn, I'm having suicidal thoughts behind feeling like I'm professionally a failure, I realized I couldn't separate David from D1 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that was unhealthy, you know what I mean? And for the first time in life, I went to therapy because I was like talking to my friends that ain't getting it at this point, talking to my grandma, rest in peace, that ain't cutting it at this point. So therapy really did help me, but ultimately what helped me even more than therapy was understanding my God-given purpose. For like, man, I know who my creator is. I know why I was put here. And I was put here to glorify him. So who am I to think that my whole life is a failure because one moment didn't elevate me professionally?
Yeah, I wonder about that because, you know, you went to LSU, right?
Yeah, I graduated from LSU.
You got kicked off the basketball team.
Yeah.
So you didn't have those thoughts then? Like,
man, no. My freshman year, first, before I got kicked off the basketball team, my girlfriend cheated on me with a couple football players.
Lord have mercy. Yeah. Oh, stop, man.
He said a couple, not even one. Jesus.
Yeah, you feel that pain. Yeah, like I still, my heart just jumped when I said it, actually.
Mine too.
Man, that stuff, that happened freshman year. Then I got cut from the basketball team. Then my roommate started selling drugs. You heard me when we got to LSU. We shared a dorm room. Then one of my best friends in New Orleans got murdered. So I got the text message when I was in English class. I looked down at my phone. And my homegirl told me that my boy Ryan had just got murdered, right? Mm. All this happened freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first life-changing, like, mm-hmm. rock-altering moment that I had. And during that time, I could have found the streets. I could have found a lot of stuff. I found God in a real way. In a real way. Like, not in just, like, are we from the South, so we all believe in God. But, like, no, like, I get it. Like, I submit everything to you, God. From this day moving forward, my only role model I'm trying to be like is Jesus, you heard me?
Yeah.
That and I started living like that, and I started rapping. Rapping was my therapy at that time. So when I started rapping, I had a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why would I glorify murder when my best friend just got murdered?
Mm.
Why would I glorify mm-hmm. smashing your girl when a couple football players just smashed my girl? Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Why would I glorify a whole bunch of money that I know I ain't got, right? You feel me? when that ain't just how I'm living. So from day one, rap was an outlet for me to be able to spit reality, but you got to make that reality charismatic and entertaining. So I just had to get real good mm-hmm. at spitting reality.
You from Baton Rouge, right?
No, I'm from New Orleans.
New Orleans.
I went
okay.
to college in Baton Rouge, and I taught in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. You know, they consider you a Christian rapper, right?
I don't know. I don't know if they do or not, you know?
Because the reason is I feel like they put you in a box, but there's a lot of rappers that preach positivity and
exactly.
don't preach gang, don't preach guns, don't preach violence, and they're not put in that same box, but they seem to put you in that box.
You know why? It's because they smart. The other rappers, they crafty. I ain't gonna say it's smart. They crafty though. They'll have a positive message, but then they'll sprinkle in some, but I'll smash your girl, you know what I mean? Or like, my partners will come spin the bin and murk you. You know what I mean? They'll slide a little bit of that in there.
Put the medicine in the candy.
There you go. But I don't think that's, wait, you mean put the candy in the medicine?
No, put the medicine in the candy.
Put the medicine in the candy. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's wise. Cause it's just like, that kind of comes across lukewarm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So with me, it's one of the things where I was like, if I got to sacrifice a little bit of professional, like, growth in order to say I'm going to be uncompromising about my message, I'm down for it. Because mm-hmm. wherever I get, that's where I was meant to be in God's eyes. You know, a lot of people got selfish ambition, mm-hmm. and that's different from godly ambition. What godly ambition is, God, I just want to make you proud, and wherever that land me at, I'm content. Selfish ambition is the world telling me to chase being a billionaire. The world telling me this the newest car to get. The world telling me that this the brands I need to be rocking. That selfish ambition that had you chasing a moving target for your whole life, and I never fell victim to that, because around the time I was starting to get materialistic, I went to Ghana when I was 13 years old. Mm-hmm. I saw real poverty. I thought I grew up in the hood till I went to Ghana. You feel me? Right. I came back, man, I'm not tripping on wearing Jabot jeans no more. I'm not tripping on, you know, having to, yeah, have this jewelry and be like the hot boys or whatever. Man, I just seen people who, their joy is their weapon. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't need to carry no gun. My joy is my weapon moving forward. I want my smile to light the room up when I come in there. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been on for a long time. So you apply that to the rap game and people going to be like, oh, he different. And because he different, and he love God, he a Christian rapper, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If that's what people call me, cool. But a lot of people, they just like, nah, bro, he's a college professor, mm-hmm. he's a Harvard University fellow, he's a dope rapper, he's an activist, he's a bunch of things. He's an author. This is my children's book I just wrote.
David mm-hmm. found his slingshot?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that I wrote that at Harvard last year. And it's
based on you being bullied while growing up, right?
Thank you. Man, I used to get bullied when I was in kindergarten, you know, like a lot of people. And when I was bullied, at the time, I didn't know how to get over that. So mm-hmm. this is an anti-bullying hip-hop children's book because, yeah, bro, just like the story of David and Goliath. David was able to defeat Goliath when he found his slingshot. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Mm-hmm. David didn't use nobody else's weapons. When they was like, here, take this shield, take this sword. He was like, nah, I'm good on that. I know what my gift is. My gift is using this slingshot. Mm. The way I overcame my bully is I found my slingshot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you read the book, you realize what my slingshot is, mm-hmm. but you realize that we all got a slingshot. And when you find your slingshot in life and you use it for the purpose God designed it for, you're going to defeat the Goliaths in your world, too.
I love that. You know, when Biggie said, I'm black and ugly as ever, however, I always say that all of us have a however.
All of mm-hmm. us got a however.
All of us got a however.
Thank you, bro. And that's, I just want hip-hop to start being... Like, hip-hop is my slingshot, clearly, bro. Rapping is what got me here. I'm on the Breakfast Club right now, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, this is huge. Like, I don't want to act like this is just normal to me. I know every thought I've been here, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Bro, this is still a big deal to me, bro. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are cheering for me right now. A lot of people who've been a part of my whole journey. But I just want us to, like, look at hip-hop as being a tool that we could use in a more healthy way to help us reach our goals in life, bro. If you listening to music and if you making music, it shouldn't have to glorify murder. It shouldn't have to glorify drug dealing. It shouldn't have to do that shit, go. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't have to do all that stuff in order to get us where we going in life, man. And I'm just trying to show people that I'm a success story. So if I could do it, why other people can't do it?
D1 is just hilarious. Just
what's
hilarious.
Up, I can have a hug.
How you doing? How you doing, Quinn?
I'm good. Good to see you.
Now
you
got a book for you.
Oh, I know that's right.
Yeah.
Now I saw this before you came here. Okay, this is good.
Yeah.
Now, you were very vocal about rappers using their platform.
Come on, you spoke
about, of course, Meek and Jim Jones and Rick Ross, and you were upset with, you felt like the music that they put out was hurting the youth opposed to helping.
Yeah.
Now, break that down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because all those brothers in their music have uplifting songs and positive songs. It's not just all about bang, bang, shoot 'em up, F your girl. But
right.
You felt like the singles that they put out were...
Well, I just feel like we got a lot of selective outrage in the black community in general. A lot of selective outrage. If a white person say the N-word one time, all it takes is one time for them to say it, we at their top. Mm-hmm. We on their head. Oh, no, you said the N-word? Oh, we trying to cancel you. We'll never let you forget that. But if artists, if it's like, yo, well, they rap about murdering people, you know, in 50% of their songs, but in the other 50%, or in 80% of their songs, but 20%, they rapping about economic empowerment and some positive stuff. Like, shouldn't that be okay? We're content with a state of lukewarmness. You know what I'm saying? That's something that I'm just like, yo, that's confusing. That's confusing to these kids. I'm with the kids on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. You feel me? I'm a college professor currently, in addition to being a rapper. Like, I'm seeing that these kids who ain't from the trenches at all, now their identity is rooted in, like, well, if I'm black, I gotta be able to relate to this type of music to even feel like I'm authentically black. And that's because that's what's getting pushed. And I'm just telling the artists, like, bro, We know, like, we made it from that. We shouldn't have to be glorifying that stuff. There's a difference between narration and glorification. Mm-hmm. You feel me? When you're narrating something, man, I came from this hood. I came from the east side, Ninth Ward of New Orleans. I seen this. My best friend got killed. Glorification is, look, I'm going to be the one to come when I get off Breakfast Club and come murk something. I'm going to be the one to come slide on my ops. I'm going to give my young boy a bag to go and get you dead. You know what I'm saying? We are content with the glorification of drug dealing and murdering and disrespecting our women. And that's a problem, bro.
What if we...
is it not?
It's definitely a problem. What if we switched our mindset about how we look at the music? Like, is there a way to look at the music as just entertainment the same way we look at movies or TV shows?
You being serious right now? Or are you playing devil's advocate?
I'm going to be honest, because none of these people, all these people are in character. It's not like they're saying, hey, my name is such and such. They're all in character. We do it in movies and TV shows. We know it's not real. And they glorify it even worse probably than the music.
I think, you playing.
Thank you, Jess. No. Yeah, get your boy.
But I also feel like what Charlamagne says, not to say it, and I get what you're saying, it's an influence, but we know these are rappers ain't killing nobody.
No, we don't know that.
Majority of them.
We can't say we know
they're that. They're not running around shooting nobody. Majority of them.
Bro. Are you serious?
They are.
Evie,
they
are. Listen. Thank you, bro. Listen. Yeah. Bro, I just watched y'all show the other day, bro. I'm a fan of the show, first of all. Mm-hmm. I just watched the show when y'all had my brother French Montana up here.
Yeah. D-Thang.
The young brother with Ken French. Not the young queen, but the young brother with French.
D-Thang.
He was like, you was like, yo, French smashing other rappers' wives. French was like, nah, that's rap cap. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
The young brother was like, man, I make drill rap. Like, what you mean? If we ain't living it, like, shoot, that's lame. We gotta be living it.
Right. Yeah,
Charlamagne, they telling you that, bro. They telling you, like, no, this ain't just fiction rap. Like, this is nonfiction. Rap is implied that it's autobiographical and you telling your real story. You hear me? D1 is just a stage name. It's not a character. It's an extension of who David Augustine is. That's what rap is, bro. I can remember my favorite rap lyrics from the Hot Boys from 20 years ago. I don't walk around quoting my favorite movies from 20 years ago, line for line, from the whole movie. Mm. But I can rap you any Lil Wayne lyrics from 20 years ago.
I definitely got me a 38 snub nose because of Tupac and Juice.
That was a movie, though.
That's what I'm saying. Mm. I've definitely been influenced. I can't say that I haven't been influenced by movies.
We're more influenced by music than we are movies, bro. And at the same time, when the last time you seen these actors from movies out here getting killed and getting RICO charges and getting put in jail?
I agree.
Thank you. So since we agree with that, it's clear that like music has this pull on us, but we content with this state of lukewarmness. Yo, I'm telling y'all, and all I'm saying is we are massively successful. Who's sitting here right now? All us massively successful. With our platform, like, I feel called to not make the next generation feel content with saying, yeah, like, let's glorify this stuff, but let's just not go do it in real life.
I wonder if you can narrate without glorifying. I don't think you can, though. Because even somebody, like, I think about a Jay-Z. Jay-Z has always been a narrator. He's always told you the good, the bad, the ugly, the consequences, everything. That don't mean you still won't go out there and experience it for yourself.
Nah.
Because a lot of time, but Nas the same way.
You think Nas glorifies?
I mean, he narrates it, you know, like I can't, it's just, to me, it's kind
of
the
Nas
same
talks about it in a lot of his album. Nas talks about a lot of the life that he lived in Queens. And a lot of it was the stuff that we're talking about, drugs and guns and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. But Nas also has a lot of records that's positivity, uplifting the youth.
Oh, no, I'm saying Nas is my favorite rapper. Mm-hmm. I'm saying like Nas inspired me to be like, oh, this a sophisticated hood dude, same as me. Like, I can relate to that. Like, he clearly smart, but he's seen a lot of stuff. He's been through a lot of stuff. Glorifying something is just simply saying, bro, how many records that are either getting played on the radio or that's at the top of these playlists nowadays, how many records are glorifying, I'm going to spin on my ops. I'm spinning the bin. I'm sliding on you. I'm finna bust your head. Like,
a lot of them.
Come on. Hey, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's glorification, bro. Mm-hmm. Narration is saying, yo, I seen this stuff in my past. This happened to my best friend. Da 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 da. Man, one of my students murdered another one of my students who I used to teach. Mm-hmm. This is real life. If I'm narrating that, I'm still talking about murder, but I'm not glorifying it like that's to be replicated and duplicated. You feel me?
I wonder about people's environments too, though, because I feel like the environment you come up in influences you way more than music would. I just think the problem sometimes is that people provide soundtracks for the environment.
Okay. Okay. So that's where, as OGs in hip hop and as success stories, we should be able to, yo, to the youngins coming up, let me show you how you can take that environment and make your environment be a product of you. Because you was chosen, you heard me? Mm-hmm. If you're an artist and you got a huge platform, you know what our responsibility is? It's to make the revolution irresistible. That's a famous quote. The role of the artist is to make the revolution irresistible. That means you can take something, you could take concrete, and you could be that rose that grew from it. And have everybody looking like, how did you do that? And it's like, I'm going to show y'all, I'm going to give y'all a blueprint. Mm-hmm. We chosen, yo. You know how many people rap in this world? Mm-hmm. But they're not here right now. Like, I clearly was chosen. It's bigger than me. Mm-hmm. I could spit with the best of them. I'm better than 95% of the rappers in this world. I know that. You know what I'm saying? But with that being said, it still take more than just talent. So I was chosen. So it's like, dang, since I made it, what's my responsibility? It's not to keep feeding lies to people. I didn't have rappers had these type of convos with me outside the booth. And then the engineer be like, all right, the beat is ready. And they leave from their chair. They go hop in the boot and they go kill 40 people. Mm-hmm. In that song, you know?
but some of your favorite rappers do the same. Like you talked about Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne has said it. Jay has said it. Nas
no, that's
has
not.
It.
That's
but
not,
there's also a lot of rappers that are doing it on the positive side. You got your Chance the Rappers. You got your J. Cole's. You got your Kendrick Lamar.
Even the new ones. I love La Russell.
You got La Russell.
I love Rhapsody.
You got Rhapsody.
I love Kendrick. I love Cole. I get what you say. I feel like the last 10 years of hip hop, at least the guys that were really, really on top,
right,
with the exception of maybe Future, they're nothing like the artists we grew up on. Like J. Cole, Kendrick, Drake, right, they're nothing.
Right.
Like we grew up on some CB4. The Envy was putting guns in his Manolo Blahniks because rappers was talking
not
about
Manolo
it.
Manolo Blahniks, it was Timberlands, but go ahead.
Whatever.
Continue.
What I'm saying, like we grew up in the era of you had to be hardcore. You had to be facts. Gangster just to survive.
Facts.
You know?
Well, think about it like this. We can name all of the artists who y'all saying got a message in their music probably on two hands. Meanwhile, there's whole genres of rap, trap rap, drill rap. Mm-hmm. A genre consists of like hundreds of artists. Mm-hmm. They got whole genres that's dedicated to the murder music at this point. They got whole genres that's dedicated to the negativity being glorified. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, with our young queens, our women, what's being rapped about? Vagina, booty, you know what I'm saying? Just the power of what's between your knees.
Booty hole, okay. Yeah.
Booty hole.
New Orleans people say booty, like how yeah, we say it. We say boonky, though.
Yeah.
But, like, so, but how do you change that? Because, you know, how do you change that? Because I heard you say it in an interview, it's like, you know, a lot of these rappers you feel are serving two masters, right?
Yeah.
The man upstairs and then, or the man and woman upstairs and then also the money.
Yeah.
So how do you change that?
You got to pick one. Mm-hmm. And who created you? Did money create you or did God create you? Mm-hmm. God created you. So that's who you're supposed to be serving. Don't become a slave to a green piece of paper. Shout out to my brother Styles P. Man, that's a song of his. I live my whole life for a green piece of paper. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm like, dang, that song hit me back when I was in school. Because I was like, dang, I don't want to live my whole life for a green piece of paper that could be torn up. And then once you tear it up, it has no value. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that, man.
You don't think people have to evolve. They have to see it in themselves. Like, we seen Jay evolve. We seen Styles P evolve.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Some of these people.
Styles was stabbing people.
Yeah, Styles was like,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you got to put it on.
No, because I always tell D-Block that. I love D-Block. I love their growth and their evolution. But growing up, when I used to listen to D-Block music, I used to want to stab somebody with something sharp.
There you go. Hold on. You just said it.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
This man had Queensbridge on the side of his head when he had hair.
Oh wow.
I want you to know I don't disagree with nothing you're saying.
Okay.
The only thing I want is that I don't like when you say what you say and then people take it away and then they want to get violent. I'm like, yo, how can we just have the conversation?
Right. Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I want people to hear you.
Yeah.
Because you're not wrong.
Not wrong
in what
at
you're
all.
Saying.
Yeah. And I don't have any beef with any artists, by the way. Like, I'm full of love. I hope y'all could feel that radiating from me. I'm also knowing that, like, man, time is ticking, man. We all got an expiration date. Mm-hmm. And we don't know when it is. Mm-hmm. When I was in college, you heard me? And I had three dudes walk up on me out the blue. I was playing one-on-one basketball with my boy. And these dudes walked up. They thought we had broken their homeboy's car. You heard me? So they was like, man, y'all broke in our partner car? We was like, nah, not at all. They was like, man, y'all lying. One of the dudes pull a gun out. Dude got a gun right here on my temple. You know what I'm saying? Real quick, I got my hands up like this. I'm like, damn, bro. I never thought I'd die the same way my best friend just got killed a couple years ago. I thought my life was over right there. By the grace of God, a girl was walking to her apartment. She looked down at the basketball court. She was like, oh my God. You know what I mean? And they looked up and they got spooked. So they put the gun up. They ran, right? In that moment, I was like, oh, shoot. I'm choosing impact over income. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, because if I'd have died in that moment, all the money that I had, that money couldn't have did nothing. Mm-hmm. But the impact that I left in this world, that impact would be here forever, even after my life was gone. Mm-hmm. So that's when I was like, I'm not going to be, I was a business major. You feel me? I used to intern for Jimmy Henchman up here in New York mm-hmm. when I was in college. I was going to work in corporate America. Man, I was like, forget that. I'm going to be a teacher. I became a middle school teacher. When I was a middle school teacher, one of my students came in class one day with MOB tatted on his arm. The sandwich Charlamagne had QB tatted on his head, mm-hmm. right? My student came in with MOB on his arm. Mm-hmm. I said, bro, what made you get that tattoo? You know what that stands for, right? Money over. Mm-hmm. He was like, no, sir. I don't know what that means. And I was like, then why did you get it? Because his favorite rapper, Lil Wayne, has it tattooed on his chest. Mm-hmm. The influence. And when
Wayne
I saw
the
influence.
Got that from Pop.
Huh?
Wayne probably got
and
that from
Wayne
Pop.
And Wayne probably got that from Pop. Bro, mm-hmm. that made me want to be a rapper. And I was like, I want to be a rapper because of the influence right. that I see that rappers mm-hmm. are having, man. That's it, bro. So, been in this game, just dropped my 11th album, you heard
From the Hood to Harvard.
From the Hood to Harvard. Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about working with Jimmy Henson. I was going to ask you about that. Like, just walk me through that experience. What was that like?
Well, I needed to graduate. I was a marketing major, mm-hmm. so I had to have an internship under my belt. And at the time, I was like, dang, he was managing the game. I feel like he had Rick Ross, he had Gucci Mane, you know what I'm saying? He had Brandy, he had a few different people, and I was like, dang, this is crazy. It'd be amazing to work for him. Bro, I just called the number to his office, and shout out to my sis LaShana, you heard me? She was working the front desk at the time. She answered the phone, and she was like, hey, how you doing? I was like, look, I'm a college student trying to get an internship, and I sent my resume over. They hired me just like that. I didn't get paid. Wow. I didn't get paid, but I was up here in New York. I was living in the Bronx that summer and interned with him. I was on the Game's street team. So years later, the Game was on my last album I just dropped a few months ago. Mm-hmm. So to go from interning and working on the Game's street team to him being a collaborator on my album, that's like a full circle moment, bro. But it showed me that summer, it showed me that I don't want to be in this industry unless I could be an artist. Because I seen a lot of people who was pushing music that after they finished promoting the music, they would look at me and say, man, I don't even want my own kids listening to that music. Mm-hmm. But this is just my job. I was like, ooh, yeah. I wouldn't want to have to live my life like that. You got to push something that you don't even really stand behind because it's your job. I was like, the only way I'd be in this game is if I could be an artist because I could control my narrative.
How many times you got called Poppy in the Bronx? I know they confused you for Spanish.
Man, they did. The yeah. And I was like, bro, I'm black, bro. I'm from New Orleans. You heard me? As soon as I said, you heard me, they was like, oh, he ain't from here.
He's not from here.
He ain't from here.
When did you first realize you were using your gifts?
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million-dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
For their intended purpose.
Well, the first time I did a show, it was a talent show at LSU, and Miss Afeni Shakur was at my school, right?
Wow.
Tupac's mom. Mm-hmm. And when I got off stage, I didn't win first place, second place, or third place in that talent show. But when I got off stage, she was like, "Young brother, your passion on that microphone, when I see you perform, reminds me of my son." And when she told me that, I was like, "Oh, I got something special." Like, even if people not recognizing it in the moment, I got something special. Tupac mama just told me this, you feel me? And at that point, I was like, all right, I know if I use this for the purpose it was designed for, it could be life-changing. Bro, I got letters in my pocket, bro, from students who, like, when I visit these middle schools and these high schools, they write me letters about, like, how much my music has inspired them, and they wanting to be like me. They writing raps, and they giving this to me when I come to their school. Like, I see this, you know? I'm speaking at a school. By the time I get off stage, the little girl then like drew a picture of me, you know what I'm saying? Like, this powerful, yo. Like, this is organic stuff that I experience on a daily basis. So I'm like, who would I be to have a watered down message when I know that this message could be life changing for people in a good or bad way?
And you're a professor, right?
So yeah, at Tufts University.
And you teach students about the intersection of hip hop and social change.
Yes, sir.
Break that down.
Yeah, so my course that I designed is all about how hip hop has been used to make social change in the past and how we can use it to make social change moving forward. Because unfortunately, it's kind of veered in the direction of, yo, I'm just trying to get the bag. I ain't even a rapper. I'm just a game spitter. I'm just a hustler. You know, it's kind of veered in that direction. So people now focused on making change via hip hop, right? And I'm just saying, yo, as a class, we're going to learn how different artists have been able to use their platform to really make real change. I was on tour with Macklemore when the Thrift Shop song came out, doing a nationwide tour with him. I saw the change that they were making, even in the LGBTQ community when they had the Same Love song. I saw all of the legislation that they were a part of and how they had people getting married at the shows and all this. I'm like, I'm seeing real social change be made via hip hop. I done seen the impact that Air Force Ones done had on a whole, whole country, make people want. So we just study about that stuff in my class, bro. And I'm empowering my class to want to make music, but also consume music that's going to make change. Because why are you consuming music that's glorified? Like, one assignment I had for my class was to write Kodak Black a letter while he was in jail just now. Kodak just got out last week, and me and Kodak are cool. So we were DMing yesterday, and Kodak hit me like, yo, I got all them letters from you and your class. He was like, that stuff really inspired me. Thank you, bro. Y'all snapped. I want to come and visit your class.
Kodak is a perfect example. I was going to ask you, too, what strategies do you use? So I want to get back to Kodak, but other than like writing letters to Kodak, like what other things have you done?
Yeah, so my class is actually creating an album. You know what I mean? My class is creating an album because I want to show them how hard it is to create hip hop and actually make it make social change. Because nowadays, if you want to have a message in your music, you automatically the underdog. But I love that my students could be like, wait, Professor D1 is dropping music, is on the freaking Breakfast Club. Like, it's possible. You know what I'm saying? Totally independent, 100% independent. They see that it's possible, but I want them to see the things that they didn't see, which is me and you connecting 10 years ago. Me and you connecting almost 10 years ago. Y'all seeing me grinding. I'm making my class do this as they create an album, because making the music is the easy part. But make the music connect with people. You know what I mean? So I'm showing them with a little tough love, you know, that like we're going to learn about artists who have done it successfully. We're going to learn about artists who were on the right path, but then they let the bag get in their way and they change their message along the way. And then we're going to learn how to do it as an artist.
Can't you be multifaceted, though? Can't you be...
Can't you glorify killing and want to save the world? No.
Well, no, but maybe can you be a social justice advocate and just be a street rapper from Philly talking about your experiences?
You can definitely be. And by the way, bro, I hope that, you know, I hope that it's not still out in the air that D1 has an issue with Meek Mill, Jim Jones, and Rick Ross. I hope that's not...
Well, you were specific. That was the other thing, too. I think that if you weren't specific and you just were talking
about
generally,
rappers, right,
I think the message would have been received a little bit better. Because whenever you, you know, address somebody as an individual, they're going to take it personal.
Gotcha.
They just are.
And that wasn't my intention for anybody to take that personal. Because I literally, like, I love all them brothers in a real sincere way, bro. This ain't just no, oh, I'm just saying that, da-da-da. No, in a real way. But when you use examples to make your point, if somebody say, man, people in the NBA need to conduct themselves better off the court, that's super vague. When you say, man, Ja Morant need to stop, flashing guns in his videos. Oh, that's a real example. All right, cool.
Have you spoke to those brothers after?
Man, me and Jim have texted each other, and it was all love via text. I hope to link up with Jim while I'm out here in New York in person. Like, that'd be love. That's going to be the next
step. How did that conversation happen on text? Did you hit him and he hit you?
No, a mutual contact, my brother Antonio and my brother Shabazz, the OG, they linked us via text, right? And then I sent him a video one day, man. I woke up one day and I was like, man, all of this middleman and stuff and group text. I sent him a personal video speaking from the heart for a minute. Jim, this D1 brother, da da da. This was my heart. This was my intentions. This is my background, da da da. Put that out there to him. That brother hit me back in 5 minutes. I appreciate you reaching out. This means a lot. I respect what you stand for. You know, we should have a conversation. He said, because I realize sometimes in life, people are trying to get to the same destination, that's but they're right, just taking two different routes. I respect the heck out of that. So we haven't met in person yet. We haven't verbally talked, but we text. With Meek and Ross, I haven't communicated with them directly. I know people who know all of them, you know, so I would love for the link to be made just so they know, like, bro, this ain't no, I just want us to be the best version of ourselves, man, because it confuses the kids if we are giving turkeys away, giving toys away, giving shoes away, advocating for social justice reform, but then glorifying the opposite type of message in our music. And that's all I'm saying, you know?
Is it ever appropriate to use unconventional means to achieve righteous ends?
It depends on what those unconventional means are, bro. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, I wouldn't get up here right now and disrespect any of y'all physically or verbally to say, hey, the goal was to go viral.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some niggas will. A lot of them will.
To go viral.
Yes.
I don't think that that's just not how I'm cut. I'm not that thirsty for validation or for fame. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually been famous for a long time. You know what I mean? I haven't taught since I was Freddo's teacher. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's like over a decade ago, brother. Like I'm good. I'm in a great space mentally, physically, financially, all that stuff. So for me, it's like the slow grind to continue rising might not come along with the antics, but it comes along with integrity. It's making God proud. It's making my grandparents, my parents proud. Mm-hmm. And it's giving people a blueprint. You know, that viral stuff, man, you'll be here today and gone tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about being in this world but not of this world? I know on the song Line Drawn, on the intro, you say that.
Yeah. So Lines Drawn is me saying, like, yo, this whole industry has become content with a state of lukewarmness, bro. Like we cool with, all right, this song, we popping Miley's, we popping pills, we selling dope. This song, we doing something positive, and we cool with consuming it all. That's why other communities don't take us serious. You can't play with gay people like that. You can't play with Jews like that because they don't play with themselves like that. But when they see us disrespecting ourselves, they're like, man, the black people, they're not tripping, man. Like, it is what it is. They glorify killing themselves. Who cares if we disrespect them, you know? With that being said, does everybody in here believe in God?
Of course.
100%. Absolutely. If we all can say that, then that should make it way easier to understand my why I do what I do. It's because I don't serve my fans. I don't serve the industry. I don't serve Instagram. I serve God. And I'm simply using my music as a vehicle to reach people. But I'm not serving them people. So if we all look at what our slingshot is and what our gifts are and say, how can I use this gift to be of service to God? Automatically, it'll be like, oh, there's no way that I can justify glorifying killing and glorifying just a bunch of negativity to say that, well, I'm trying to make money. So that's going to justify it at the end of the day. There's no way. So I said, I'm drawing lines and I'm saying, what side of the line are you on? Do you want to represent righteousness or you want to represent evil? And drawing that line in the sand, that's made a lot of people in hip hop uncomfortable. Because mm-hmm. Now it's like, oh, I got to pick a side. I was comfortable in the middle. I ain't want to have to pick a side. We was mm-hmm. all comfortable in the middle, actually. Yeah. Man, I'm just drawing a line. That's all. And that's why I put that song out. That's the first song on my album. And that song's shaking things up. You heard me?
How often do you get a student that still just goes against the grain? You know what I mean? Like, you know, because everybody's not going to go... You know, everybody's not going to do the same thing. You know, and I know you help a lot of students. I can definitely tell that you help a lot of kids. But like, how often do you get the ones that is like, nah?
Every day I got students in the graveyard right now mm-hmm. who ain't mm-hmm. want to listen. Mm-hmm. They resting in peace. Mm. Like literally. Mm. Literally. Mm. Man, that stuff tough, man. One of my students, G Money, he was a popular rapper in Baton Rouge. You know, he got murdered a few years ago. That was Fredo Bang's rapping partner. They was in a group together. Yeah. Man, he got murdered. Man, I was talking to him 2 days before he got murdered. He was involved in some beef down there in Louisiana. And I wanted him to come with me to a show I had in Memphis at the time. But he ain't answer his phone when I hit him up. And I didn't want to seem like I was bothering him, right? But I was like, man, get out the city, man. Come with me for the weekend. Let me just pour into you, bro. And he ain't come with me to that show. He got murdered before I could make it back home. You know what I mean? But I knew that it's like you involved in this beef, but... It's because you getting caught up in wanting to play this role of who G Money is instead of the young brother that I know Garrett Burton is, you know? And I just seen hip hop make people do that, man. Like, mm-hmm. I got adrenaline running through me right now, man. I'm on the Breakfast Club. Yeah. It's gonna make people, like, wanna amplify something inside of them. Thankfully, though, because I know I'm serving God, I'm like, amplify the righteousness in you, D. Yeah. Like, don't amplify, because I got darkness in me, too. Mm-hmm. I got wretchedness. I got craziness. I got evil in me as well. We all do. But I don't want to amplify that part. I try to suppress that part as much as possible. But, man, I see people make the wrong decisions every day. And I just try to still be here for them. We got to still have grace with people. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. And what could you tell, like, my black son? He's 11 years old, right? And what I noticed about him is, you know, he lives between me, my mother, and his father. Mm. So that's three different households, you know, because what I do and what his dad does, you know, I'm always on the road. I live in New Jersey now. he's between here and Baltimore, and then his dad, total different household. He has siblings there. I don't have other children yet. I'm pregnant right now, but it's different household. So it's different things that I don't allow him to do that his dad may allow him to do that my mom don't. So he's listening to gospel when he with her, but down when he, that's not what he want to listen to. He's listening to NBA Youngboy in school and stuff like that. And I noticed a mood change, you know, not to, you know, shit on NBA Youngboy or anything like that, because he has things that he's going through as well. And he makes that very known. But my son's mood will change. He'll get like down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But he loves to listen to him. Right now, I listen to all types of things. I'll have him listen to my son know Marvin Gaye songs.
Come on.
He knows Anita Baker. Come on. Like, he knows so many different, because it's different. I listen to rap. I listen from everything to rap, rhythm and blues, rock, all of that.
Right.
But I notice how it's a change. It is. It's a mood. And influence from music is very impactful, because my son just goes into a different mood when he listens to, like, Juice WRLD and NBA Youngboy. And I'm like, why are you listening to that?
Come on.
He like, I like it. I'm like, can you understand what they saying? No, not like that.
Not like that.
But he understands some of that stuff, and it puts him in a different mood. You get what I'm saying?
It literally changes your mood. You know, it's life and death in the power of the tongue. That's Proverbs 18 and 21. It don't say life and death in the power of the beat. You hear me? The beat could change your mood or your frequency, but life and death is in the power of those lyrics. So that's why it's like, we all say we believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't ignore that scripture. That's real. So that's why I'm like, bro, I don't even want to play about something that could have life and death implications. You feel me? And that's just real, yo. So now it's like, instead of just being the person that's anti this, anti that, I got to be just as dope, but in a different lane. So that's why I got to be able to counteract the murder music with stuff like, I don't care if you know me. You about to respect how I step. Why would you think I'd ever fear you? I don't even fear death. A scary boy need a gun, like bad breath need a gum. Yeah, your teeth clean, but I know the power of the tongue. I'm a man of God. I ain't superstitious. From New Orleans, where Birdman quotes get treated like Bible scriptures. But me, I ain't the type to brag about what I done bought. I make silent moves, but I get loud results. If D1 talk about his pain, you gonna really relate. D1 talk about his paper, you gonna know that he's straight. D1 rap on top of your beat, you gonna know that he ate. D1 rap on top of your beat, you gonna know that he ate. You bragging about what you done been through, partner? We survivors too. And you calling boys your brothers, but which one's gonna ride for you? Ain't no G-code no more, boy, the streets done lied to you. That's why I be in my bag, but I be in my Bible too. They don't like me, but they know they can't deny me. Man, I'm a real gangster, and they know right where to find me. G-A-N-G-S-T-A, do not try me. Growing and nurturing gifts, serving the Almighty. Keep up. A lot of people feel how I be feeling, but don't speak up. I be out at Harvard in my office with my feet up. God, why are you so good to me? I need answers. Slaves built this school. Now I own real estate on campus. That's how I got to come, bro.
I dare you say. I dare you.
And I really own real estate. And
Charlamagne, I dare you say that ain't it, bro. I dare you say that.
That's a lie.
Yeah, yeah.
When it is what it is, you don't got to say nothing. But of course, that was dope.
That's right.
What would you do own land on Harvard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How much?
I own. So it's this huge, huge multi-purpose facility that's being built. It's going to be office buildings, is going to be mixed income housing, and it's going to be a student academic center that's being built. We just broke ground on it, that was December 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm part of a team. It take a team to make something big like that happen, mm-hmm. brother. And thankfully, I was connected to brilliant black minds that were like, yo, man, we got an opportunity to own real estate on Harvard's campus. When our ancestors built this school, man, we got to do that. And I was like, bet. That's what I'm using my money on. I don't need the newest car. I drive a Honda Accord proudly. Mm-hmm. I don't need a Bugatti. I can have that. I can have a Lambo at this point. I don't need none of that, man. Give me that real estate on Harvard's campus.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, there you have
it. You know, I got a couple more questions for D1, because you've been propositioned to compromise yourself at different points in this industry, right?
I know what you're talking about.
I don't want, if you're not going to say it, I'm not going to say
it. No, let's say it.
Okay.
Yeah, say it.
Is it true that you were pressured to participate in homosexual acts for a major?
Is it true that you were pressured to participate in homosexual acts for?
Where'd you get that? I didn't see that on this.
No, it's very true. No, it's true. No, it's very true. I don't know how you heard that. Maybe you heard another interview or something. Mm-hmm. It's very true, brother. That's when I was a local rapper trying to get on. And when people see that you are vulnerable, because they know they got the leverage, there's certain people in this industry who will be like, oh, I think he'd be willing to do something strange for a piece of change. You know what I mean? And I had somebody, I was trying to get somebody to manage me at the time. And the person I was trying to get to manage me, I drove out of town. I went to a video shoot that they were a part of. And during the video shoot, we were going to have a meeting and talk about that. And yeah, that person kind of, you know, implied to me like, yo, like I'll manage you. You just got to do something for me. You hear me?
Yikes.
Yeah.
And when you see them managing artists now, you like, ugh.
Man, that person.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, bro. No, this a real thing, dog. Mm-hmm. This ain't no. I'm surprised y'all don't know most stories like that.
I do.
No, we do. We know a lot of them. So but not about you.
It's a real thing that I know. And unfortunately, people. So that person, they not like some big mogul nowadays. Whatever trajectory they were on, like they fell off.
Yeah.
I say that. But I want people to know that story because I could have said yes. And I could have had something to this day that's a huge skeleton in my closet that I'm like, damn, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm traumatized behind that. And I had to do that to get on. Mm-hmm. All I had to do to get on was be real, be righteous, and be relevant. You heard me? Keep God first, man.
Absolutely. And I want to ask you one last thing about imposter syndrome because you got a record called Imposter Syndrome.
Yeah.
And you're clearly at a place of worthy right now. So when did you get to that place of worthy and was able to say, you know what? I know who I am.
Man, anytime I'm entering a space where I feel like I'm being tolerated and not celebrated, shout out to you for that. I got that from you. Mm-hmm. I still feel a sense of imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. In the music industry, for the most part, I feel like they tolerate me, but they don't celebrate me, right? Mm-hmm. My fans... Man, my fans want me to win so bad. That's why my fans, like, we'll name our own price, D. We'll pay for your album. We'll go stream it too, but we'll pay up to $1,000 for your album. I got fans that love me. But the industry, bro, I still feel like they're like, dang, D got so many followers. He making so much noise. We got to let him on this. So we got to open this door for him. But they just tolerate me. They don't necessarily celebrate me. Mm-hmm. So I still feel imposter syndrome a lot of times when I'm in industry spaces because you can kind of tell when people are like, you too big and too powerful at this point to not have you here, but we ain't necessarily like championing you. Like you can see the industry pushing some people to the forefront. You know what I'm saying? So it keeps me humble. It keeps me with a chip on my shoulder. It keeps me feeling like I'm that underdog from New Orleans. I'm David with more Goliaths to have to fight.
You think it's more like Sharif and Menace though? It's like, oh, here come D1 again. He about to preach to us and tell us put the weed down and put the liquor down.
Man, that's... I don't, bro, because I never get that from people that like, man, you come across preachy or anything like that. I'm passionate, but that's why I'm able to be on the phone with a Boosie, on the phone with a Kodak Black, you know what I mean? Kicking it with Manny Fresh, Juvenile, like all these, like, man, I'm just a regular dude, bro. I'm really just a regular dude who is simply not a slave to money, and I know who I serve, who we say we all serve, which is God. So because of that, cool, man, I can't be content with things that's not glorifying God that's happening on my watch and in my space. While I'm in this industry, man, I got bro, I'm on the Breakfast Club right now, man. I got to say some stuff that's going to impact people even after we long gone and we not on this earth no more.
I understand it because the negative is definitely amplified. So when people say things like, man, how come D1 just don't reach out to some of these people personally? I mean, you got to say what you're saying about the positive and you got to amplify that too, right? Like that got to be said publicly if the negative is public.
Thank you, bro. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Listen, man, public actions deserve public responses. Mm-hmm. We have an industry that is putting this music out publicly every day. If I go on every playlist in the world right now, it's being curated with murder music, with music that's disrespecting our women, that's glorifying drug dealing. With that being said, man, it's got to be addressed publicly. Mm-hmm. It can't be like, why you don't hit all these individual artists up behind the scenes? And I'm not interested in, let me go at the industry. Who is the industry? I don't know who the industry is. Mm-hmm. Y'all had Leo Cohen on here talking about, hey, them people got to, hey, I got mouths to feed too. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Man, listen, America doesn't want to heal your trauma. America wants to monetize your trauma. Mm-hmm. This industry don't want to heal your trauma. They want to monetize your trauma. So I'm like, let me empower the artists and the fans to simply be smarter and say, let's continue to make hip hop. Let's continue to listen to hip hop. But let's make a healthier version of it that's going to be better for all of us. You know what I'm saying?
Talk to us about the Platinum Pledge before you get out
of
here.
The Platinum Pledge. Oh, man.
But before you go into that, I want to ask you, you mentioned the Game.
Yes.
Now, how do you decide who you're working with, right? Because the Game has been a rapper who's been one of those rappers. He's been on both sides, right? He positive songs, he uplifts, but he's been a shooter too.
Yeah.
So how do you decide who D1 is working with? Because somebody might say that you work with the Game and the Game is, he's on that line. He ain't 1,000%.
So the game is a sinner, right? D1 is a sinner too. Mm-hmm. There's nobody on the face of this earth that I won't sit down with, that I won't work with. You mm-hmm. hear me? The book that I adhere to, the Bible, in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, I believe, it says, healthy people don't need a doctor. Mm-hmm. Sick people do. Mm-hmm. With that being said, what would I look like to say, oh man, I can't associate with the game, or I can't associate with Kevin Gates. These are artists what you mean they people just like me? That's mm-hmm. why I've collaborated with them. That's right. And I collaborate with anybody on the face of this earth, man. Mm-hmm. Like, we not supposed to sit here and point a finger and judge people. Man, we got stuff, me and the game both lost loved ones to gun violence. Mm-hmm. That's what the song is about. Me and Kevin Gates, we both come up in Southern Louisiana, man. The song is about what we done seen behind people chasing money mm-hmm. when we got music together. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, I got a song coming out with Project Pat mm-hmm. in 2 weeks. I got a song coming out with Raheem Devon mm-hmm. in a week. Like, bro, like, I'm out here. Mm-hmm. I done collaborated with Lupe Fiasco, Big Crit, you know, all kind of people, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want to do, because I love making people say, he belong in this box. And I love mm-hmm. breaking that box and making a hit. And people be like, wait, what? That wasn't supposed to work. I was with Killer Mike 2 weeks before the Grammy Awards in Atlanta. That's my big brother. I went on my first tour with Killer Mike. Mm-hmm. Man, it was so powerful to see that brother win mm-hmm. 3 Grammy Awards, bro. It let me know that a shift is happening right now. Mm-hmm. This the time right now for all the boxes to be broken. Oh, you too old. Nope. Killer Mike just won a Grammy Award. Oh, you got a message in your music. People don't want to hear that. Nope. Killer Mike just won 3 Grammy Awards. Right. We got it. So with that being said, it's time for us to all come together, man. Can't nobody say, why would you work with this artist or this artist? Me and Fredo Bang got a song about to drop. You know what I'm saying? What would I look like to not work with my student just because it's like, oh, man, well, you be rapping about some different stuff than me, bro, so I can't do that.
Now, because people would say, you know, you point a finger at, let's say, an artist like Jim Jones. Would you do a record with Jim? Or you point
man,
a finger
I,
at a
I already
like
got
you.
A record for Jim. If he would be down to hop on it, man, I got a ton of songs that I'm like, Jim, I think this would be fire for us. But if not, because people love to call you a clout chaser, right?
And you bringing mm-hmm. him in your world, probably.
Oh, I'm always bringing people into my world. Yeah, mm-hmm. If I do a song, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, you got to respect my platform. I don't curse in my music. You know what I'm saying? Hey, if you could respect that, the game hit me and said, guess what, lil bro? This the first song of my whole career I'm not going to curse on. Right. But I'm going to do that for you. That's a testimony, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So, of course, I'll do a song with Jim Jones, with Meek Mill, with Rick Ross. But if it don't come to that, it's okay, because it's not about that, brother. I'm good already. Like, generational wealth has been built already. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? The impact is being made. The calendar is full with speaking engagements and booking and touring and all that. So, the Platinum Pledge, all right. Mm-hmm. In the music industry, the highest standard of success is going platinum, right? Mm-hmm. So I turn platinum into an acronym. It stands for People Leading a Transformation Involving Newly Unified Mindsets. That's what platinum stands for. The Platinum Pledge simply says that we are taking a vow that we will not create, support, or promote music that's glorifying murder, glorifying drug dealing, glorifying the disrespect of our women, and glorifying sexual irresponsibility. Mm. That's the Platinum Pledge. And I'm unifying people to say, yo, there's actually more of us who agree with this mm-hmm. than don't agree with this. Mm-hmm. But the industry will make you feel like, oh, man, I'm the only one, or I'm lame if I don't want to hear murder music. Yeah. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So the Platinum Pledge, brother, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people have signed it already, bro. Mm-hmm. Now I'm on the Breakfast Club talking about it. People could go to my website, d1music.com, D-E-E, the number one, music.com, and go sign the Platinum Pledge. And I'm unifying all these thousands of people together to say, now here is how we create a healthier hip-hop space for all of us. That's what the Platinum Pledge is, bro. I would love for y'all to sign it, you hear me?
Definitely gonna sign it.
Real talk, man. That's bro, that is life-changing, bro. That is life-changing when we see this ain't about canceling nobody. This ain't about we don't love this person. We want everybody to be a part of this shift, but we want to make it together, man. That's huge, bro. So that's what the Platinum Pledge is. And I've been doing these meetings going from city to city called Rappers Only. Mm-hmm. In New Orleans, I kicked it off in my hometown. We had 100 rappers in the same room. Mm. Gangster rappers, Christian rappers, backpack rappers, females, all kind of stuff, right? And we in there, Rappers Only. And we talking about what's the mental side of what goes into why we make the music we make. Monetarily, like how important is it to make money off of the music we make? What's the message we want to put out there? It's basically therapy for artists. And me doing this and doing these Rappers Only meetings from city to city, this stuff is making artists feel like, dang, bro, like finally I could express some stuff that I couldn't express to my fan base, or I couldn't express like to other people that don't just get me, man. I'm trying to unify us so we could be better, bro. And not trying, we doing it at this point. You hear me?
Give me your Twitters and Instagrams and all that stuff, D1.
All my social media is D1 Music, D-E-E, the number one, Music. You hear me? All my social media and on streaming platforms is just D1, D-E-E, dash, the number one. I got 11 albums out and counting. Y'all go check it out. Newest album, From the Hood to Harvard, please. And look, I want to bless y'all with these patches, limited edition patches. Yeah.
That's be real, be righteous, be relevant.
That's my collaboration I just did with Levi's. Envy, I got you, brother.
Thank you, bro.
You hear me? Yeah, man. So that's my motto. When I say three is up, that's what it means, brother. Be real, be righteous, be relevant. And hip-hop, I know we could do all them things, and we're going to win together.
Congratulations on the collaboration.
Thank y'all, man. Yes. I can't wait to see y'all next time, bro, because we got to keep this journey going. You hear me?
That's right. Yeah. Well, it's D1. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up. Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong,
and asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.